You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Daddy Soda Time here on the College Draft Podcast, always presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, where you absolutely should use the code Ross. We'll be talking, by the way, about betting on the NFL Draft the next two episodes on the Even Money Betting Podcast. So here's what you do. You listen to Emory Hunt on the College Draft. If you're new here, whether you're listening or you're watching us, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. You can go back and binge watch or binge listen to every other position group Emory and I have gone over. We still have two more to go. Linebackers today, DBs next week. I always encourage you to check out Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast this time of year as well, because Greg and I have gone through the positions as well. A little bit different than Emory, doesn't separate them like Emory does, doesn't have the sleepers or the depth of knowledge that Emory does in terms of some of the prospects. I also want to make sure you know you can still get the draft guide, and it is hot. Not a week goes by where I don't get at least a couple emails from you guys buying the draft guide, which is awesome. footballgameplan.com/2024draft guide. All right, I'm going to pull this up right now. This is nuts. Okay, I have it in front of me right now. I mean, this is insanity. Okay, I am a softball coach for my daughters. The rule book is 269 kilobytes for a softball rule book. From 6U to 14U. I have another document, the football game plan draft guide. 474,683 kilobytes. I think, Emory, it's got to be. Oh no, I have a video from my daughters in a play. The video actually got you beat, but that's the second biggest file I have ever had in my files over here on my computer. I mean, you want to talk about an absolute monster. 475,000 kilobytes, bro?
Listen, man, that's what people need to understand. And it's all information. It's not lists. It, you know, because again, when it's week six or week seven, no one really cares about a three-cone drill or how high a guy jump. You just want to know, what can this guy do? What he has to work on? That's why our draft guide is filled with all the information you need, which is why we're able to pack in so many reports that more than anybody else out there.
It's really, really impressive. And I didn't get a chance to name winners on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast last week, but I will this week. And pretty sure someone that gets the draft guide will be the winner. Check him out on social media. I know if you're a loyal listener or viewer, you know all about him. He's the man. At FBall Game Plan on Twitter. We'll be coming to a TV near you very soon. In fact, maybe even before the draft. Stay tuned by following him on social media. At FBall Game Plan. Football Game Plan on YouTube. I told you earlier, we are youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Absolutely love people that check us out on YouTube. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. Already posted, by the way, really cool episode of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast with Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. It was so interesting, Emory. We didn't really even talk about prospects. Like, we were gonna, and then I just started asking him about his process and pro days. I was like, well, why do you even go to pro days then? And he said, it's actually a great chance to talk to the player and talk to people about the player. Like, that's, he really goes to pro days, not really to see the guy do the drills, because you can see the numbers. you know, that other people do, but to actually just talk more with the player and the people around the player. And he talked about like how they never used to talk to academic people, but now that's like a critical component is the guy's academic person. Just really interesting stuff that I think people will enjoy. If you listen or watch this show, check out Jim Nagy on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on social. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. The draft is 10 days away. The draft is next week. We need to dive into linebackers, Emery. And let's just start with this. Doesn't sound like any linebackers are going in the first round. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not. Just your thoughts, I guess, before we dive into the linebackers that you've got graded the highest. Just about the class overall, Emery, your thoughts. And I know you separate them into different positions.
Yeah, inside and outside backer. And it is a unique group of guys because when you're looking at linebackers, you're looking at guys that, okay, who can impact the game consistently, who can really either rush the passer or be a downhill thumper in a run game. And I feel like there are a couple of guys that if I needed an inside backer, if let's say if I'm a team like Seattle, right? I know they picked up Baker in free agency and, you know, a couple other guys. But, man, listen, if I'm a Seahawks fan, I'm like, hey, I wouldn't mind taking either one of my number one and number two inside backers because I feel like their play kind of warrants that. And as Jeremiah Trotter Jr. and Edgerrin Cooper of Texas A&M, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson, obviously. And both guys, to me, have that it factor that jumps out at you on film that you say, okay, I can see why this guy could warrant some first round attention. But, you know, maybe one guy sneaks in round one, depending on what the run goes of quarterbacks, receivers, and tackles, edge rusher. It kind of goes like that. But then, hey, maybe if there are only two or three elite players at a position, you kind of have to take one now when you can. I do feel like Trotter, because of his ability on both ends of defense, where he's able to sniff out the run game, be effective dropping in pass coverage. And on Cooper's side, just how downhill explosive he is when you think about, you know, those old Texas A&M Wrecking Crew defenses, or even back when Dat Nguyen was out there, like he could have played on those defenses. I thought A&M's defense as a whole individually was outstanding this year. So Cooper, to me, has that juice about him, and so does Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as my one and two inside backer.
I know, Emery, you're like me and you love bringing up these names every once in a while. When you talked about Texas A&M and linebackers, my brain immediately went to Quentin Corriott.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't know what years he played. It must have been late 80s, maybe early 90s. I remember that dude straight up annihilating people. I mean, over and over again. Like, back in the day, like, I would watch a Texas A&M game mainly for him. Mainly just, I think, was he like the second pick of the draft or something crazy?
Exactly. It's a high pick in a draft.
Unbelievable. Quentin Corey. I don't really remember him doing much in the NFL. Do you?
Nah, I know he got drafted by the Colts, right? Very high.
Yeah.
And that was it. And A&M was like the prototype for the point of attack player because you had good D-line play, good linebackers. And if you was a starting tailback at A&M, that used to carry some weight like it did back when you were a starting tailback at USC. That meant something, you know?
Yeah, that's that's funny. So I guess I'm curious. We talk about this a lot, Emery, but I'm curious about your thoughts on the importance of the position of linebacker. And we're obviously talking about off-the-ball linebackers here. So there are teams like the Eagles, who I know very well, that do not invest a lot of resources in the position typically. Then there are other teams like the Bears or the Ravens or whatever that they're going to put a lot of money into linebackers. They think off-the-ball linebackers make a big difference. Where do you kind of stand on that?
If you are strong down your battery, you will be a good football team. And when I'm talking about battery, Ross, I am talking about right down the middle. The closer you are to the ball, the more you impact the game. So center, quarterback, running back, D tackle, inside backer, free safety. If you are strong in that area, you're good to go. Everything else will fall in line. You think about it. Look at San Francisco, Fred Warner, and see how their defense was affected when Hufanga wasn't out there, right? You look at the Ravens. You talked about them. Look at what happened when they got a Roquan Smith. You go on the other side of the ball. Look at how teams that have an excellent center, good quarterback, and a tailback that threatens you, how good they are. So imagine being good from tailback to free safety. So linebacker is important because it helps you set the defense. It's the first line of defense in terms of a guy that can get everybody lined up, get everybody going in the right direction, and also has the ability to make game-changing plays. So if you are really strong down your battery, if you're building inside out, like people like to say, you have to start right down the middle.
You know, I think you make a good point in that the linebackers, usually the green dot in the NFL, they're the signal caller. And I guess I feel like if you have kind of an alpha at that position or a leader and a guy that's a baller, I feel like that does carry some weight in the huddle as opposed to like having just a guy out there that's not really making a lot of plays, maybe not overly respected. I mean, you can have D linemen that are leaders and safeties that are leaders, but kind of feels like the guy that's talking to you every play, he better be thought of highly and better be a leader.
Which is why people look at that Ravens defense that had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed as like, damn, they were really good. Well, yeah, you have two, not only Hall of Famers, but two leaders, two quarterbacks out there on the field. You're never in a bad position. So why wouldn't you invest in that, you know, position in terms of inside linebacker or off-ball linebacker in terms of that regard? Because you think about it, man, that's why San Francisco was so dynamic on defense. Yes, they have guys that can get off the edge and get to the quarterback, but you think about those backers, you know, Patrick Willis. You think about what they had in Greenlaw, what they had in Navarro Bowman. Like, come on, man. Like, it's crazy how people, you know, again, a lot of times people that are not, you know, that haven't played the game, not to use that as a reason, but you understand, those that have played understand how important not only every position is, but how critical the linebacker is and the running back is to a football team.
I know how critical food is, and I didn't know until my wife started crushing these Factor meals that you could get chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, delicious meals in just 2 minutes. I'm talking like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, asparagus. By the way, I still have no idea what the difference between broccoli and broccolini is. None whatsoever. At some point in my life, I will understand that. I know this, though. If you head to factormeals.com/dogs50 and use code dogs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box, that's code dogs50 at factormeals.com/dogs50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Emery's looking for some dogs when he's watching the video. We're looking for some dogs over at factormeals.com/dogs50. I'm also looking for something delicious to drink, and that's Labatt Blue Light. Whether it's friends, family, watching UFL like Emery does every second, always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Interesting, Emery, to hear you say Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at both ends of the game, because that was not his dad, right? Like, I mean, I was teammates with his dad. I played against his dad. That was a thick, lower body guy that would hit you. I'm talking 6'1", maybe 265. They don't make many like him anymore, Emery. Nowadays, they would have gotten him up to 285 and had him play three technique. But back then, he was playing middle linebacker, and there are very few linebackers when I played Emery that you were like, you did not like when they took you on. Because, you know, you're usually like 60 pounds heavier than them. Trotter was one of them, but his son's a little bit thinner, lighter, more athletic, right?
Yeah, 6 feet, 228, you know, a little bit more of a what we used to call a wheel backer back in the day. But I'm still shocked that like guys like Trotter Sr. and Lavon Kirkland at 300 pounds was, you know, getting down the middle in cover two. It's like, man, like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Big 300-pound inside linebacker. But yeah, and listen, when you think about Trotter Jr. and how he plays, he's super smart, super instinctive, and that's going to keep you on the field. And again, when you're good in terms of your pass coverage and you have the ability to turn the ball over, you got to. That's a guy that, to me, exemplifies today's inside backer, off-ball backer. You want that guy on the field.
And Edgerrin Cooper, you were saying from A&M, I've heard some good things about him as well. He's just a guy that will light you up, explosive.
Definitely. And where he is having room to grow is in the passing game. But in terms of stopping a run, chasing down the athletic quarterback, that's him all day. He's a top-down player, and he's someone that's going to, you know, he has those impactful hits that get the crowd going, ooh, I like those type plays. That's the type of dude Cooper is, which is, again, why it was so fun grading A&M defensive prospects. He had a bunch of guys on there, and Cooper was one of them that just kept popping on film.
What about Darius Mousel from UCLA?
You know, it's interesting because he's another one of these smart inside players that always was around the football, that had almost like he had the tip on what the play was going to be, because he was always one step ahead of the offense. And when you have a great D-line in front of you, like he did at UCLA, it allowed him free reign to the football. So I thought he did a really good job on film consistently. The games I watched was Boise, San Diego State, and Utah. And again, had a really good East-West Shrine Bowl. You go back and watch the LA Bowl. He was a defensive MVP across the field, making play after play after play. So when you constantly have that type of hustle, that type of get up, you're going to always find yourself on a plus side of the play out there on the field.
Who are some of the inside linebacker sleepers or small school guys you like?
Well, sleepers, you keep an eye on Brian Holloway of Texas State. You know, you talk about guys that can make plays on the ball. I want to say, I forgot what game it was. I think it was the bowl game. We had like two or three pick sixes. And it wasn't like, you know, a situation where they're on the 1 yard line, he picked off a screen. No, he had to weave his way through the offense to get to the end zone. He did it twice. So he's excellent in terms of pass coverage, good instincts. And he had a really good showing at the College Gridiron Showcase. Also, Jamal Hill, explosive talent, 5'11", about 220. And he ran 4.48 at his pro day. He was a former safety. This year, he played linebacker for the first time. And so now you have a guy that has upside but checks all those boxes athletically. And Julius Davenport, Wilkerson, I'm sorry, from Davenport, the university, Division II program out there in the GLIAC. Another one, older player, but a guy that played a lot of football at Davenport, well-coached out there, and did a great job, again, on both ends of offense. Another one of these guys that took advantage of the small school opportunity at the College Gridiron Showcase.
What about Emory, outside linebacker, a guy I feel like I've heard about for years, I've watched him for years. Man, there's some impressive highlights out there from Peyton Wilson from NC State.
Yeah, super athlete and can play any one of the three linebacker spots, whether that's Sam Will or Mike Backer. And when you have that type of versatility, athleticism combined with what being 6'4", 233, you got the ideal backer. Like, you've heard the gambit. You know, some people may say he's like Brian Urlacher, who was another super athlete that was about the same size, but it was a former safety that turned linebacker and played really well. Wilson's only concern is, can he stay healthy? But if you have him out there, he is someone that you definitely want a green dot on. Could also be like an Anthony Barr, you know, when he was, you know, out there with UCLA, as someone that rushed the passer, can drop in coverage, can hold his own, can blitz. So Peyton is the all-everything backer. Another guy, if it wasn't for the health, you could see him getting first-round conversation, going in the first round, and it still wouldn't surprise me toward the back end of round one seeing someone take a Peyton Wilson, because he's that good.
I love it. Your number two guy, Emory, at outside backer is Kalen DeLoach from Florida State.
Listen, you can't ignore what the tape says, and because some people will focus on 5'11", 210. Ignore that. ignore, you know, just focus on how he gets to the football, when he gets to the football, how many plays he makes on the football. That's the guy that you want, because again, these guys have been this size their whole life, so they know how to navigate and play with the size, right? So you could kind of cross that out if the size doesn't become a detriment. Like if we were watching tape at Florida State and you see him just get overwhelmed by offensive linemen, then you kind of say, well, he's kind of light, maybe we have to move him to a safety or something like that, see how he checks out athletically. But you don't see that on film, and this is someone that definitely makes those plays downhill, constantly is able to get through blocks. You know, he plays bigger than his size, and so you kind of like that about him, and I feel like he made far too many plays to ignore.
And then there's a guy from Temple. I've seen this guy. He was like Temple's lone bright spot, Jordan McGee, the linebacker.
Yeah, you know, here's someone that wore a single digit at Temple. We know what that means. 31 TFLs. So he made plays consistently behind the line of scrimmage. He's a super athlete. And that's what gets him on the field. And when you have that guy that can play, you know, that will backer position, can match up on backs, can match up on tight ends, can blitz. He's 6'1", 228. I think he's someone that more people should talk enough about. Again, wasn't at an all-star game, but was at the combine. So people know about him. And this is somebody, again, that, you know, was showing the fact that he can play aggressive, play downhill, fight his way through contact, and get to the ball carrier. Big fan of what he brings to the table.
What about your sleepers and small school guys on the outside?
Tyron Dupree of Liberty is another one of these superb athletes at the position. I always reference the Oregon game where there is one play in particular where he you know, had to do his reads in terms of like zone reads. So he stepped up versus the run. They completed a pass going behind him. And he was able to turn around, not only track that receiver, but make the play downfield to prevent a touchdown. Like that type of athleticism he has. And he was someone that you saw pop on film at Liberty all throughout the course of his time there, in terms of like every game that you watch, the games that I watch, it was him making play after play after play because of his athleticism. So he's someone that's definitely flying under the radar. And Miles McHaney, the fourth of Prairie View, I was at the HBCU Legacy Bowl, and he was playing kind of edge rusher, and sort of played that at Prairie View. But you see his body type, you're like, oh, this is an outside linebacker all day. He's not going to play with his hand in the dirt. But because he did, he has good pass rushing ability. So you can see him as a situational blitzer, but even more so a core special teamer. And we know how special teams are made nowadays with the change in kickoff rules. So you kind of want guys like McHaney the fourth that could be out there, that's used to playing through contact, that can run, but also is great in making open field tackles. So he could have a home as a core special teamer from day one.
Where do you have Junior Colson, Emery? Because I know a lot of people have him as, if anybody does go in the first round, it's him. They have him as the top-ranked off-the-ball backer, but not in your top three at either spot.
Yeah, he's someone, you know, I know people get infatuated with the team success, and it kind of trickles down, but Colson is someone that, you know, he's got very good communication. You know, so he's someone that you can kind of give the green dot to, takes good pursuit angles. I just worry about the fact that he does a lot of things well, but not one thing particularly great. And if you're talking about taking somebody that early, you got to be elite at one thing. You can be a good football player, but we talked about this before, where first round is a situation where you're looking at who can impact us right now. And I feel like he is someone that you can get on day two or day three that can be a good football player for you. But when we're talking about someone in round one that has an elite trait, that's why we're talking about the Trotters and, you know, the Peyton Wilsons and those type of guys.
Interesting. I love it. I also love your passion for the UFL. We're 3 weeks in. Just curious as to what your thoughts are so far.
I love it, man. And again, the biggest part is the fact that guys are getting fresh tape. I tweeted that out the other day. It's important for the football ecosystem, for offensive linemen, quarterbacks, basically everybody, because everybody needs to understand that not everyone develops the same. Development is not linear. And if you're getting these guys reps, you know, you're getting those constant reps, you're going to have guys be better when they get that other opportunity in the NFL. I would like to see a little bit more younger quarterbacks get that chance. I like how AJ McCarron is playing, but he was part of the class of 2014. Same thing with Cody Latimer. Like, we kind of know what you guys are, We'd rather see young guys get this opportunity so that way they can perhaps get another chance to go back to the NFL. Stop focusing on the attendance. People, I've never seen people turn to a game just to look at the crowd. You tune into Maction every Tuesday and nobody's be at those games. So, like, focus on the football. The football is good. Check out a game on Saturday.
Ooh, I love it. You're right. Who cares how many people are in the crowd? I do think it affects people mentally, though, in terms of the importance of the game in their mind. Check them out at FBall Game Plan on Twitter. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for tuning in to College Draft. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and Fantasy Feast, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.